Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, you brought forth the earth and the world. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn men back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, O sons of men." For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You swept men away in the sleep of death. They are like new grass of the morning, though in the morning it springs up new, by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sin in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. The length of our days is 70 years or 80, if we have the strength, yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, O Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us. For as many years as we have seen trouble, may your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to your children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Let us pray. God, we just call upon your presence right now. Father, we praise you for being God, for being creator. There's so much joy and goodness, Father, in you, the Holy One, that we just adore you, Father. We call upon your Spirit this morning to come and dwell among us. Father, we ask that you bind Satan from our presence here, that our minds might be on spiritual things this morning. Father, we're all servants of yours. We're all children of the light. Speak to us, Father. Still our hearts this morning and speak to us. Forgive us, Father. We're very, very sinful people. Yet because of your Son, we're born again. We're new creatures. We're foolish. We're peculiar. We're set apart. Thank you for allowing us to be your children. Abba, Father, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the 12th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. We'll be reading a portion of verse 48. And from everyone who has been given much, shall much be required. And to whom they entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more. If you will now stand and join us as we sing hymn 405, We Are Called to Be God's People.
Glad to see that all of you got your priorities right this morning and came here to see your president rather than that other fellow that's going to be down in Raleigh a little later today. Ronald Reagan, I believe, is his name. But we are glad that you've come to the chapel service this morning. And I'd like to say a word of thanks to Dr. McKibbins, the chapel committee, for allowing us to have this privilege, to let you see who we are on student council, to give you an opportunity to find out what you can do to help not only student council, but this entire student body and this community. Some of my fondest childhood memories center around recollections of a Wednesday evening ritual, which brought a great deal of excitement and enchantment to my young life. I can recall many Wednesday nights in which I impatiently awaited the 10 o'clock hour so that I might once again settle in front of the family TV set and watch Steve McGarrett almost single-handedly maintain law and order in this nation's 50th state. Without exception, each episode of this fast-moving, action-packed series kept me enthralled. I was often awestruck by McGarrett's penchant for having just the right hunch at just the right time, or his ability to get the break that he so desperately needed in order to capture and bring to justice those individuals who were making life miserable for the law-abiding citizens of Hawaii. And almost without exception, each episode of this series concluded with a triumphant McGarrett turning to his star, Lieutenant Dan Williams, and with just a hint of righteous arrogance in his voice, he would instruct his subordinate to book 'em, Dano. At that juncture, I could go to bed well-fed and satisfied, completely convinced that Hawaii was safe for another week. Yes, it would be safe to say that Steve McGarrett was the television hero of my childhood. And while he required a scant hour of my time each Wednesday in order to keep me abreast of the adventures of Hawaii 5-0, I nonetheless granted him much more airtime in my heart and mind because he captivated my imagination as only a larger-than-life figure can do in the life of a child. An hour required, many hours gladly given. Somehow, the arithmetic for a statement like that is hard to figure. Why invest a large amount of time when a much briefer installment would surely suffice? In the case of my attachment to a television hero, I feel certain that this imbalance could be attributed primarily to the sheer boyish excitement that came from pretending that I was right alongside McGarrett on Diamond Head as he cut short the efforts of a band of gun runners who were attempting to supply arms to the syndicate in Singapore. An hour required, many hours of daydreaming gladly given. But then I grew and matured. And as I did so, my heroes of yesterday somehow vanished from my mental TV screen, and a new, somewhat selfish axiom became the code by which I lived and thought. This new adult-like principle revealed the unwise nature of giving more to a concern in life than is actually demanded by that matter. In short, this proposition could be stated this way. An hour may be required, but no more than an hour will be given. And truthfully, in this day of time management and scheduling difficulties, this made much more sense than giving more than that which was originally bargained for. And yet, to live by the principle of time and effort given solely on the basis of time and effort required can serve only to curtail imagination, stifle creativity, and ultimately reduce a life of service to a mere time card of hours worked versus hours paid. The practical thinking and time management of an adult over and against the imagination of a child. One views profit and loss by what is to be given in relation to what is received, while the other plunges headlong with a simple faith and an unharnessed wonderment about the world and all that it has to offer. Fortunately, the childlikeness within me only waned as I grew. It never died. And when Christ entered my heart at age 19, I rekindled an old friendship, and the child within began to teach me the excitement that comes with giving freely of oneself without being unduly concerned with investments and returns. It was a rule that I had followed unconsciously as a child, and a principle that I first became critically aware of as an adult. It is a principle which states that it's okay to give more than you are required to give, and that if you give in the spirit of service, care, and love, then any perceived personal returns on investment will automatically become secondary in nature and importance. An hour required, many hours gladly given. If I could reduce to one sentence and declare in one broad, all-encompassing statement my desires for the Student Council of Southeastern Seminary for this academic year, it would be that we promote the welfare of all students with this one thought in mind. When even 1 hour is deemed necessary to achieve a particular goal or to complete a given task, we will, without hesitation, give whatever it takes in time, effort, and energy, be it 1 hour or be it 50. But here again, I pose the question, why invest a large amount when we could certainly make do with less? And just as I answered this query earlier when referring to my affinity for Steve McGarrett and Hawaii Five-O, I must again profess that the answer with regard to the work of Student Council lies at least in part with the boyish excitement that I feel about our efforts on campus thus far this semester. But beyond this, and more importantly, I feel that our Lord demands nothing less. I feel that He demands nothing less than our very best efforts. Because we have been given much, and we are therefore required to offer much in return. Instead of supply-side economics, you might more appropriately label this service-side involvement. Time required in service to our Lord. Time ungrudgingly given so that our fellow and sister students might find the environment in which they live and study more pleasant and fulfilling. Time required in projects and events for the improvement of the Southeastern campus. Time and energy willingly rendered so that our Lord might be exalted and glorified through it all. Yes, I have grown in many ways, but I have consciously recaptured the boy-like enthusiasm for giving more of myself than is actually required. In maturing, I have come to the realization that crimes don't happen just once a week at a particular time and place on the island of Oahu. In fact, I have learned that quite opposite is usually the case. This I have learned, partially because I have grown physically and emotionally. But my education in this area can also be attributed to the fact that certain other television series of late have appealed to me by demonstrating an uncanny knack for portraying the real struggles and hard knocks of life. The shallow, Hollywoodish, single crime, single episode series, single episode format of Hawaii Five-O may have held my attention as a child, but when I became an adult, I put away such things, only to find myself being drawn to the likes of Captain Frank Furillo and the men and women of Hill Street Precinct. And it's not as if one of these series is any better than the other. The reality is that Hill Street has proven to be more in-depth, more painful, and certainly more lifelike than Steve McGarrett had ever been. And ironically, at the conclusion of each episode of Hill Street Blues, I am never quite certain if I should laugh or cry, or if I should feel relieved or sorrowful. In truth, I am often at a loss to determine just who has carried the day. The uniformed officers from the precinct house, or the warring street gangs who battle for one more city block of unclaimed turf. It just isn't the neat little package that came with Book 'em, Dano. There are always loose ends, unfinished stories, and unsolved cases with which Captain Furillo has to deal. Sounds a little like seminary life, doesn't it? As a matter of fact, it sounds a lot like real life. Unfinished stories, loose ends, unsolved cases. Yes, we've all grown enough to know that life bears no elementary quick fix explanations for its many quirks and complexities. And we on student council cannot promise that such solutions will be forthcoming in this academic year. But we can promise that where our Lord demands an hour of service, we will strive to give all that we have, regardless of time and energy that may be required. And in return, we ask that you divert from any attempts to place us on the level of television heroes. We're not Steve McGarrett's. We're not Frank Furillo's. And we're not the scores of other television personalities who have become household names in recent years. No, we're none of these. For in reality, we're much more. We are your brothers and sisters who live, study, rejoice, and struggle right by your side each and every day that you're here. We will not leave you at the end of an hour-long episode. We will not leave you feeling that we're larger than life. In fact, we will not leave you at all. For if an hour of time is required, many hours will be given. But what about you? How much are you willing to give? Will you pledge to serve with your student council by giving unselfishly and openly to whatever need arises on this campus? If an hour is required, can we count on you? Can we count on you to become a vital part of a viable student council Can we count on you to make the first weeks of a new student's life here a positive, affirming experience? Can we count on you to bolster the sagging life of a second-year student who has come too far to look back and yet can't quite see the light at the end of the seminary tunnel? Can we count on you to become an encouraging and prayerful supporter to those who are about to graduate and enter the field of full-time service? Can we count on you to literally roll up your sleeves in any one of a number of situations and assist us in making Southeastern a beacon of hope, care, and love for all who pass her way? We need your help. And if even 1 hour is required, how much will you give?
At this time, I'd like to introduce the members of Student Council to you. As I call their names, I'm going to ask them to stand and remain standing through our time of commitment. Our president of Student Council this year is Ben Taylor. Vice president is Dallas Morales. Secretary is myself, Susan Taylor. Committee chairperson for Spiritual Life, Susan Dillinger. Communications, Morris Haywood. Ethics, Neil Jones. Social, Lee Baker. MDiv senior class representatives are David Boyette, Wade Abercrombie, and Lewis Johns. MDiv Midler class representative is Larry Hovis. And the ADiv senior representative is Norman Towner.